Thank you all for being here on this great night. One of my favorite services is candlelight service here. I have a lot of favorites in Christmas. There's one thing I especially like about Christmas, and that's pies. That shocks you, I know, just looking at me. But my wife made pies for Christmas last night. And she made a buttermilk pie. Anybody ever have one of those? Well, don't start now. There's probably rehab for it someplace. She made a pecan pie, and then she made two of my favorites, which is pumpkin. In fact, we're having a pie social after this, and I brought no pumpkin because it belongs to me. But you know, you can't ask your wife, can I have a piece of that? Because it's for Christmas. And I really wanted a piece, but I didn't have the guts to ask her. But I thought just maybe I'd get one. And, you know, this morning, we got a surprise. You see, she put the pies out on the table. And in the middle of the night, our cat walked on one of them. And it was a very big piece of pumpkin pie. And so my first piece of pumpkin pie for Christmas was a cat claw pumpkin pie. And now you know that I am truly a redneck, probably. But there's no way we're throwing that out. We're eating that dude right there, you know. Cat paw and everything. Maybe you have a favorite thing, but I tell you what, one of my favorite things, maybe of all things, is Jesus. Ever. And it's been a theme through the songs and what, in fact, my wife just sang. Would you just listen here? This was written approximately 2,711 years ago. A good 700 years before Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah says this in chapter 9, two verses. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Can we pray? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, though we know for a fact that was written 700 years before you were born, that, Lord, prophets foretold this and it came to be. And, Lord, that means your word is true. And, Lord, would you help us to depend on that this Christmas especially, as we have a world that's departing from the truth into fables and made up stories. And Lord, I pray that you would bring us back to a Christ-centered life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just what is this scripture saying just here on December 2019, some 2,711 years later of that being written? Two words I would like you to see, first of all, is it says there's been born to you, there's been given to you a Savior. Here's the big question of Christmas right off the top. Is Christ been born for you today? Has he been given to you? Have you received him? I went many years sitting in a pew just like you are right now, raised in a Christian home. Heard the story over and over and over again, and believed in my mind that Jesus came to earth. You'd have to really push away a lot of historical points and books and outside the Bible to know that Jesus was on the planet here some 2,000 years ago. I believed all that in my head, but I had never taken him as my born and given Savior until I was 21 in this church. And Lord struck my heart, and I realized I was a sinner, and he was my Savior. And I asked Jesus to be born in me. I asked Jesus to come into my life, that he would give himself to me. And my life changed forever. And so this child was finally born to me personally. And with it comes some incredible gifts here I'd like to talk to you about. When you have Jesus, you have some great things. It actually lists four things. And the first one is a wonderful counselor. Something I didn't have before I had Christ. I was running on my own, you know, trying to figure it out on my own. I did what I thought I should do. And this wonderful counselor means a miracle guide. Wonderful is miraculous. A counselor is a guide or an advisor, a purpose giver. All right? Where am I going in this world? And one of the greatest gifts of Christ is purpose and clear direction in my life. Something that, man, we struggle with. How many times have you needed a wonderful counselor in decisions of life? Man, all the time. Many have no idea of what this life is for and what purpose is given to them living on this earth. And they're just living for themselves. Don't you see it all the time? Wow, Thomas Watson said the chief concern of all men is to what? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is our purpose. Is that what's going on in your life? Do you have this gift? It's wonderful. It's a great gift to have a wonderful counselor. I remember being a night stalker at Albertsons in Montana. And the Lord was working on my heart. I had not come to belief in Christ, but I had read His Word enough, and I had some counseling in my heart. And I remember I came to work, and I got a pink slip. I was getting laid off. This is Montana, cold, man, it's hard to find a job. Best job I ever had at that time for $5 an hour. And I was like, wow, I was so down. Mr. Troutman handed me, hey, this is the last night you're working for us. We're done. We don't need you. And the economy was tough, and I just sat there kind of bummed out, and the foreman came up, Terry Pickens, my boss, and he says, Mark, leave right now. We'll be in a big jam. If you leave right now, the company will not get the stuff back on the shelves by morning, and we'll have a big mess here. Here's the foreman telling me to kind of stick it to Albertsons. You know, something told me there was something wrong with that. First of all, I wanted to pay for that night, but something was different about that. You know, I stayed, and I worked hard, and I got done, and the next morning, Mr. Troutman met me, and gave me my last check. And I walked out. And I thought, well, that's it. I guess that's just what you get. But you know, in 1988, when I wanted to get on the Reno Police Department, and they did a background check, they called Mr. Troutman. I don't even think he remembered me. I think he wrote my name down in a book and said, good or bad. I mean, they went to people all the time, you know. And they're going through my background, and I was a butcher there. I was a night stalker. Put that on your resume for a policeman, huh? And I still got the job. But, you know, the good counsel was, hey, Mark, don't mess up your resume. Don't make it so that, because if he would have said something bad, I could have not been hired. You see, we need counselors in our life for things we can't look forward enough with. We need someone who's going to go before us. And when we have Christ, we have this. Not only that, it says we have a mighty God. Boy, is there something. Mighty means powerful. Dynamite, we get that word from. And then God, a champion. We need someone bigger than us in our life. Don't you feel before you came to Christ how alone you were in this world? Even though you may have had a wife or a husband or a family, but you were alone. And you need someone. And the Bible says you can be more than conquerors. What? Through Christ Jesus. This gift we are. We're not our own. We have the power of the Spirit of God living within us. The Holy Spirit guides us and sustains us in this life's journey and gives us the power to overcome very, very difficult things. I see people handling things. I don't know how they do it without Jesus. I don't think they do it very well. I mean, we have troubles with it, but to do it all by yourself. Dear friends, without the power of God, we would be left helpless in a wicked and fallen world. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's what we need, the power of God. If you were a person today that has Jesus for a Christmas, you have a mighty God. And a power of God in your life. You know, we see that in our church. I think over this last year of the power of God in you. The power of God in Kathy Holton. Going through. There's no way. She'll tell you right now, I could not do this without the grace and power of God. Huh? How about Adam Bennett? That God delivered out of his sin and he's living for him and he's raising his family. Hey, I can go on and on and on. How about you? Isn't it wonderful to have the gift of Christ and to have the power of God in your life? Hey, the third thing says eternal Father or everlasting Father means a world without end. Not only a world without end, but then it gives you a relationship of a dad, of a father. You know, if you don't have Christ today, you don't have a heavenly Father. He said, no man comes unto the Father except through me. It's very clear. Says, well, as long as I believe something, I'll be fine. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to have faith in Jesus Christ for you to have an eternal Father. Did you know that when you receive Christ, that is when eternity started for you? You know, the day that I gave the Lord Jesus my life and He touched my soul and redeemed me was the day I stepped from death to life and put on the path towards heaven. That day I got an everlasting Father, an eternal Father, who's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He's going to hold on to me. I don't hold on to Him. I tell you right now, if you could lose your salvation, you would. But Jesus has got you. If you have Christ today, we have a culture where many fathers abandon their family. For some reason, sometimes they leave them physically, sometimes they're present but unavailable. A father can be like this. They're caught up in something else, some other priority in their life. And the scars of this is very real. But getting the gift of this little baby Jesus is to have a father that never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's always there. I love that scripture in Matthew. Just as Jesus leaves the disciples, he says this, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hey, fourth and lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. A prince is really a lord, a master, a governor. Peace, shalom, involves many words, which means including safe, welfare, prosperity, rest, favor, friendship. All those are wrapped up in that Greek word here. To put these two names together should speak to our hearts, and really a great gift indeed is Jesus, the governor of peace. I like that. The master of rest. The Lord of favor, the keeper of friendship, the steward of safety. And depending on the occasion, I think I need every one of those. I need every one of those. In great sorrow, the governor of peace. In times of great burden, the master of rest. When I seem to be friendless, the Lord of favor. When I am not the friend I should be to Jesus and I forsake Him, He is my keeper of friendship. When in great danger, my steward of safety. What a gift to have the Prince of Peace. A Christmas doesn't go by that I don't have so many sad things happening around us. In fact, it's so obvious and it's so true that the number one health problem in the United States of America is anxiety. Anxious. As a negotiator for the police department for many years, really, every Christmas at some time I was on a rooftop somewhere in downtown Reno, and a man was deciding if he was afraid to live or afraid to die. Or a woman. You know, it's just, it wasn't, they weren't sure. I mean, and I would negotiate them. We begin to talk about their life and really what we were talking about. Am I more afraid to live or am I more afraid to die and leave this world? Folks, that is such a big deal in our world today. And I want you to know that Jesus came for you to live for Him. And all that anxiety will fall away as you finally get a guide of your life, as you finally get an Almighty God, an eternal Father, everlasting, and want something that this world needs so much, a prince, a governor of peace. Do you have this gift? Do you have it? Can you sit with Jesus at that last Lord's Supper? And in John 14, 27, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." Not that cheap peace that comes and goes with the economy or your circumstances. No, the peace I leave you. Don't let your heart be troubled. No, let it be fearful. That's the peace Jesus gives you. You say, "Man, Pastor Mark, you're talking about stuff I don't know about." Maybe it's because you don't have them. You know, you can have them right where you're at. The words are on your lips. The words are near to you, that if you would confess Jesus as Lord, He'd save you from your sins. Would you bow your head? And we're about to light some candles and sing. You're about to see a video. But before we do that, before we can sing Silent Night, is your heart silent with Christ? Are you at peace? Let me give you a moment. If you're sitting here tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, "Pastor, I need Jesus in my life," with no one looking around, would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me this Christmas. Would you pray for me? That's me." Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Lord, we come before You. We need You desperately. And Lord, I just, some 33 years ago, Lord, I just asked You to save me, and You did. You're so faithful. And Lord, I love You, and I thank You for being my Prince of Peace, my everlasting Father, my mighty God, and my wonderful Counselor. In Jesus' name, amen.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder bends a new and glorious morn. Fall on Your knees. chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all the oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus ring,
you stand as we sing Silent Night. And from me to you, Merry Christmas. Oh, what a great night.